All right, we're recording.
Yeah.
And it seems to not be crashing.
Yeah.
So I think we can get started.
Yeah.
Brandon Chalmers.
Yeah.
It's been, how long has it been? 2 weeks?
2 weeks, because, I was ready to basically kill everyone around me last Tuesday. So, yeah, it was.
But that's the perfect time to broadcast.
No, it is not. No, Jamie, that was I needed some air, or I was going to vent. And the last thing you saw was me striking a match in my office and letting the connection just stop. Speaking of which, my poor connection again.
It would have made for a great show. It would have been amazing.
Yeah.
People would have been like, damn.
Oh, man.
Well, between then and now, what have you been geeking on, Brandon Chalmers?
Not a whole lot, but I do want to talk about an observation that I made. So I was recently at a wedding for family of family sort of thing. My wife's cousins, in-laws or something like that. It was a nice ceremony. Happened at a hotel ballroom, you know. Nothing amazing, but a very nice ceremony, not super huge or anything else like that. And there was a song that came on that some people may find cliche. I enjoy it just because I think it's kind of fun to sing along to. But I assume you've heard the Dirty Dancing classic Time of My Life.
No.
Okay, now. I consider myself a Hootie and the Blowfish aficionado, much like yourself, so we can baritone with the best of them. But what I learned is, while I was many, many drinks in, because I didn't have to drive, so hell with it, you don't actually need to use the words for that song.
That's true.
At all.
That's true.
And because of this, myself and my wife's uncle decided to do a bit of a duet for the thing. Now, luckily, he was kind enough to do the high parts for me, so there was this really nice, but neither one of us using words at all, and really just kind of got me thinking that you really could do a whole bit of these. And as I was riding home, all I could think of was the Simon and Garfunkel classic Sound of Silence, and how you could have one person sing the lyrics and the other person just meow.
this is pretty funny. I actually, for Audrey's birthday when we were dating 1 year, I recorded a version of Louie Louie, but with like no enunciation, and just did the whole thing like,
you recorded the white version.
Yeah, I recorded a version for Audrey for her birthday, and she fucking died laughing. So I think you have something here, and I would be willing to double down, get a song list together, and actually do this, because this sounds amazing.
Yeah, I think we could literally get a, like, you and I could get together and we could do the, like, Live Aid version recordings where it's, like, both of us, like, in a mock booth, like, holding the headphones and yeah. No word, like, I don't know what we call it. No words, just emotions. Yeah. Singing well-known songs as just no words whatsoever.
The album should be like, you don't know the lyrics either, so shut up.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, for honestly, growing up, myself and one of my closest friends, up until probably I was 13, thought the song was "Hold Me Closer, Tony Danza." So there's, you know, which I mean,
but wouldn't you want him to?
That's what I'm saying. He's the boss. It makes sense that you hold him closer.
Hold me closer, Tony Danza. That's great. I fucking love it.
Yeah.
So good.
Yep. So what have I been geeking out about? The idea of essentially writing an like doing an entire cover album of just nonsensical lyrics. You know, really what it could be, it's drunken wedding jams. It's versions that don't have words anyway.
Yes, I like this. Yes, yes.
Because that's when sing-alongs happen. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a bunch of classic songs that everyone plays at a wedding or on the ride home from a wedding or whatever it is that nobody actually knows the words to, and then we just poorly sing it with just kind of words.
And then you get like the wedding singer band lineup, you know. I love it. Strike. So
that's the other key. You have to slowly strike off. Yeah, yeah, and then just come back for the real words. So tough. Wow. Yeah, yeah. It's basically trailing off lyrics. Like, you start off the thing hard and then slowly trail off right into the chorus, and then the chorus becomes more and more inaudible as it starts to move along.
What's album length these days? 12 songs? 12 songs?
I mean, if we're part of the SoundCloud generation, we do shortened minute and 30 second versions, and we release like 36 tracks. Like, that's,
yeah, just get a set list together. I'll figure out the arrangements and record them, and then all we gotta do is do the lyrics. It's great.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm fucking there. It's awesome. We're done. We've got our project for the year. Fuck it. We'll release it for Christmas for all the kids, all the children. that's what this podcast will become. I'll just put on a camera in the corner and we'll record our sessions live.
I actually kind of like this idea, honestly.
Yeah, that's what our podcast has become.
Yeah, our podcast has just become slow jam sessions with you and I.
Oh my god, I love it. I'm here for it. Man.
So what are you geeking out about?
On a whim, I went to the local thrift store. There's like a mega thrift store down the street from us. And it also has a bazaar next to it. And a bazaar is basically a bunch of stands where they sell random shit. Like, there's a place that sells like old electronics. There's a place that sells terrible dresses for like...
Yeah. It's a flea market.
Yeah,
it's essentially
that's the word. It's a flea market. So I was like, well, maybe they'll have weird camera stuff at the thrift shop. So I went there and I did indeed find some camera stuff. So I found this Nikkor lens, 28-80mm. 3.3 to 5.6 aperture G series. They no longer make this thing, apparently. But it was an SLR lens that they used to sell with the kits, so back in the film days.
Okay.
And it's full auto, so there's no manual focusing on the thing. And I was kind of worried because I wasn't sure if this would work on my one body, because the D5100 doesn't have an autofocus motor built in, but the D300 does. I got home and I put it on. I shot some stuff around the house and it works. So today I took it out to King Farm It's cherry blossom season here in DC. And I've always loved the cherry blossoms, but I've never, I mean, I would take cell phone pictures of them and stuff and then just, you know, leave them around. But now it's fun to kind of drive around the neighborhood and see which neighborhoods actually have a lot of cherry blossoms. And King Farm is kind of like a relatively new development. Like there was, it was literally a farm out there before the developers bought it up and turned it into like this community. And they got a bunch of cherry trees there. So I went out there and I ran around and took photos of traffic and cherry trees because,
yeah,
because why not? And the lens turns out to be pretty good. It's got enough length for me to shoot across the street if I don't want to run into traffic and get smashed by a car. I can put it all the way at 80 millimeters, which is 120 on a crop sensor. So I get that really, really long telephoto look, so I can really isolate a blossom and have the background completely blurred out and stuff. The bokeh's okay.
That's rad.
Yeah, the bokeh's okay. I posted the photos on Instagram. So there's like one where one of the cherry blossoms is just hanging in midair. And I took a photo of it at the telephoto length, but I walked up right close to it. So the background is all blurry. So it just kind of looks like this cherry blossom ball hanging in space, which is a neat effect. So, I mean, it's pretty fast. It makes this fun sound when it autofocuses. Let me see if I can put this up to the microphone. That nice, like, little...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've got to refocus on something. Yeah, that like...
Yeah. It's super automated, like, 1950s, like, original Star Trek door whooshy noise.
Yeah, and I know people, like, real photographers like the silent shutter so they can shoot weddings or events and stuff where it has to be dead quiet, but, like, I don't know, I kind of like that kind of thing. But yeah, one of the many photography YouTuber, it's the thing, you should not go down this rabbit hole, but one of the YouTubers I follow, he does a lot of weird lenses. Like, he'll get like a old camera projector, take the lens out, and then modify a mount and stick it on his mirrorless camera and check it out and do like photo shoots with it of models and stuff like that. And I was like, whoa, I didn't even thought about that. Maybe there's weird shit you could find at the thrift store. So I don't know. I thought I would give it a whack. Came out with a decent lens. And actually, your Micro Four Thirds, you could do the same thing because, like, there are all sorts of adapters to get random things to go on your camera because you don't have to worry about there's no mirror to get in the way. So, like, you know,
I've got one.
Nice.
Yeah, it's how I managed to get the lenses that I had initially gotten from you working.
Yeah. So I don't know if you pass by a thrift shop on a whim and you see like a film camera that's $12 that has a lens attached to it, you got a $12 lens.
Yeah. I'll have to look back to see how compatible Olympus is with other stuff. Like, I assume if it's Olympus, it'll work, but it seems like Olympus previously didn't play too well with a lot of other ones. I think it plays well with Lumix. But Lumix, to my knowledge, isn't necessarily an old company.
No, that's a Panasonic. That's a Panasonic brand.
Right. So maybe if there's an old Panasonic camera or something like that, it'll work with that. But, like, I know that it doesn't play well with, like, Sony and Nikon or any of the others.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. I think it's proprietary shit. And I think Olympus wanted to be just extra.
Well, their Micro Four, the Micro Four Thirds mount should mount with everything, right? Like, any Micro Four Thirds lens you can use on that thing, right?
Yeah, any Micro Four Thirds lens, yes.
So if you just get a lens, get a Micro Four Thirds adapter, it should work, I think.
Potentially, yeah. I'll have to see, because it's the adapter that I have adapts Micro Four Thirds, but it only adapts Micro Four Thirds, to my understanding, to the classic Olympus.
Yeah.
mounting style, and I don't know if that Olympus mounting style works with other kind of lenses, like, because I didn't have any other kind of lens. Like the next time you and I are together, I'll have to bring the thing with me and see how they make up with each other.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it'll work. You'll have to get like a F mount to Micro Four Thirds, because all the Nikon ones are F mount. But that's the other fun thing to do, is like to get like my dad's old manual lenses and put it on the new Nikon bodies, because it's the same mount. It's like 60 years. They've used the same adapter for like the full frames or the crop sensors. So, but yeah, I mean, if you have like a F mount to Micro Four Thirds, then you could mount all the Nikon lenses to your camera. And, you know, this thing is this is my dad's 55. Yeah, 55. So like, you get 110 manual lens on your Micro Four Thirds. That'll be kind of cool. You can see everything.
Nice. Yeah, seriously.
All right, Brandon, a little technical difficulty, but we've come out the other side.
I apologize, people.
So this past weekend was WrestleMania.
Yes.
Are we
getting rid of all of our listeners by doing a wrestling review? Is that what we're doing this week?
Here's the thing. On YouTube, maybe, but on Facebook, maybe not, because I also upload this to Facebook, and a lot of our friends on Facebook are kind of into wrestling as well. So like, maybe two more of them will appreciate what we're about to do.
Oh, God. Okay, hang on. Do I need to bring up the card? Is that what I need to do?
I have the card here, but if you want to bring it up too.
Okay.
For Mania, Rumble and Mania are my favorite wrestling events. I usually come over and we hang out and stuff. This past weekend, you needed a break, because this coming weekend is going to be a very long one for you, friend Brandon. Between travel and show and travel back, you needed a weekend to just kind of be there and just chill and not think about anything, you know, crack a bunch of beers, just chill. So we did not watch wrestling together. We did not watch Mania together, which is why we're going to go through it today, because yesterday me and friend Alex watched WrestleMania from like 6 to 12:30. It was so fucking long, dude.
I can't believe you guys didn't fast forward through any of it.
We were thinking about doing it, but then we got so engrossed in it that like we didn't fast forward, and we didn't get spoiled, so we didn't know which matches we should have fast forwarded through. We didn't know how bad the Triple H thing was gonna be.
It's a Triple H match, so actually, you know what? That's unfair. The match is not the problem. What's the best way to put this? The visual, not visual masturbation, because that's actually just masturbation on camera. I guess the ego stroking of the Triple H entrance in the last couple years about this stuff has really gotten out of hand, and this is no exception.
Yeah, this one was particularly bad, though. I was like, I looked at Alex and I was like, I could have done that.
To bring the curtain back a little bit, we use Slack in the in Art Fight to kind of communicate with each other. We have a Wrestle Nerds channel where we bitch about wrestling, and I honestly asked the question to the crew: did the team from Reboot do that entrance video package? Because it looked real Rebooty.
Yeah, it looked kind of rough. Like there were hard shadows everywhere. They didn't use proper lighting. They covered a lot of their mistakes with just particle generator. It was rough, but we'll get there. So what I figured we would do, we're going to ignore the pre-show because we didn't do the pre-show. We're just going to go round by round. Thoughts on how you think it went.
Wait. Hang on a second. So you did not do the Tony Nese versus Buddy Murphy or
no.
the – okay.
Yeah, we didn't do the Carmella stuff. So, we didn't do Zack Ryder. We didn't do Big Strongman. We started with Alexa as the host, you know. And so I figure we would just start from the show proper and go to the end.
Okay.
So show opens. Alexa Bliss is the host. No idea what that means. She showed
nothing.
Up.
Nothing.
Yeah. Like nothing. She had like three segments, maybe. She introduces. God damn. Let's just say when it came crashing down and it hurt inside Brandon Chalmers. When Hulkamania came back to WrestleMania, I don't know what to do with that. Like, I don't know. Like, introducing Hogan at Mania to open the show. I don't know how to feel about that, man.
Okay, so clearly you did not watch the WWE Hall of Fame ceremony on Saturday.
No, we did not. We didn't bother with the
where we got the most long-winded and self-aggrandizing story of Hulk Hogan discovering Brutus the Barber Beefcake in high school and then basically dragging him through wrestling. And the long of the story, short of it, is he was always just kind of there. And when Hogan was like, hey, I think I'm going to be a wrestler, do you want to come with? He was like, yeah, sure. And that's why they put Brutus the Barber Beefcake in the Hall of Fame, because he totally deserves to be there. Anyway, we got a long-winded Hulk Hogan story. The only thing that makes me feel better about randomly checking in with Hulk Hogan is seeing him slowly get fatter over time. like watching the pythons slowly deflate themselves. Like, well, it's funny because at this point now they look more like water wings on a kid that needs to have them blown up. Like, they're substantial, but they're a little flappy.
Oh my God. That's funny as shit. Alex said, yeah, he's using that boa to cover up the rest of him, because that boa was like...
He absolutely was. Yes. Yeah. I look forward to when he starts wearing the girdle and his shirts start to have sleeves again.
Yeah.
Because at some point along the way, someone's going to talk to him the same way they talked to Hacksaw Jim Duggan, where they were like, hey, Jim, so about the tighty whities, shorts. Let's just, like, you can still go out shirtless. Fuck it. Fine. No problem. But shorts.
Yeah. But I didn't know what to do with the segment. I was like, I can't look at him. It's terrible. And then in the middle of him preening like a peacock with Alexa, out comes Paul Heyman, confusing the shit out of everybody.
Yep. By the way, that's exactly what you do with Hulk Hogan. You do exactly what Paul Heyman did. You ignore him, walk right past him to the ring, and be nothing but business. Moving on to our next and first official match of
WWE WrestleMania. It was beautiful. I stood up and I clapped. I was like, thank you, Paul.
Wait a second, hang on. Are we going to give spoilers at this point?
Oh, sure, yeah. I mean, you know, the people who will watch this all know right. what's going on, and the people who don't will be kind of curious, maybe.
Okay, cool. I am super pleased with how fast they were able to tell the story, and I really wish that some other people would take advantage of this. Now, I don't know if on the list of matches that you have, it has a timestamp for how long the actual match was.
It says 2:30, 2 minutes and 30 seconds.
So in 2 minutes and 30 seconds. Now, to be fair, there was probably an additional 3 to 4 minutes of beatdown before the actual match started.
Oh, correct. Yeah, because it didn't. Yeah.
To give people the brief recap, Brock Lesnar is a part-time champion. He shows up, he gets paid, he murks guys, and then he disappears for a bunch of months, and we don't basically have the belt on the regular show. Seth Rollins, former champion, top-tier guy, yada, 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 basically is coming down to save us from what I like to consider mediocrity in the booking sense. Brock Lesnar is a great performer. He tells a great story. But I hate that he's only part-time, and it really bothers me about the storyline, because I think the belt needs to be an important part of moving the storyline along for the rest of the roster. Yeah. Nobody else can move up if you can't rotate the belt out a bunch. And if one guy carries the belt all year and also doesn't defend the thing unless it's a pay-per-view that is super big with a lot of buildup, what's the point?
Yeah.
So the short version of it is Seth comes down. Brock starts marking him on the outside of the ring. They finally get in the ring. Seth turns the table and basically just catches Brock. It felt very, very much like a UFC fight where, you know, two guys were scrapping and it looked like one guy was really getting in the other one. And all of a sudden there was that haymaker that just comes out of nowhere. It's a desperation shot.
Yeah, yeah.
And you see that Brock gets his bell rung and then all of a sudden it's curb stomp, curb stomp, curb stomp, curb stomp. And then it's over. And
it was great.
It was great. Very similar. Right. It was very similar to every other Brock match that we've seen. You know, when he murked John Cena with the, what is it, like the 18 suplexes or however many it was.
Yeah.
We're like, we didn't know what to do with it. And it was another one of those things where it was like, I watched it and I was like, is that it? Did that seriously just happen? And then he basically like hoists the title up and he's like, hey kids, I'm back. And then disappears off into the fog. Yeah, and it's like, all right, rad. Now to double back here real quick, cause I don't want to dwell on every match. Cause Jesus Christ, we could.
Yeah.
An important thing that Paul Heyman did when he came down before he introduced Brock Lesnar. The women's match was the main event. It was billed as the main event. It had been billed as the main event for a month plus.
Right.
The first thing Paul Heyman did was he came down on the mic and he said, my client and I have decided that we're not the main event. We're getting this over with and we're getting on a plane and going to Las Vegas. Now, he did a couple things right there. To cover the Vegas point, he's calling out a shot of rumors of Brock Lesnar going back to UFC. Brock's always rumored to go back to UFC.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, whatever, cool. The idea that, you know, Brock's going to basically murk him and then disappear again. The other thing that he did that I'm really disappointed that they haven't capitalized on yet is he belittled the women's division in the sense that he felt that his client belonged in the top tier no matter how far the women's division had come.
Right.
Now, something that I wish would have happened would have been when Raw started last night, the first thing should have been Becky Lynch, who won the both titles at the end, to come out on Raw. And the first thing she needs to do is utter the words, where's Paul Heyman?
Yeah.
The first thing she should have done is called out Brock Lesnar.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because WWE would never let her fight him. He'll disappear off and she can get so much heat by saying that I came out and I murked another MMA fighter. I got no problem beating up UFC champions and I belong in the main event unlike your client.
Yeah.
So where is he?
Yeah.
And when Paul Heyman says my client isn't here, she can easily say get out of my ring.
Yeah.
And squash everything for a while.
So good.
Right. And like, if you want to turn Becky into the new Stone Cold, she has to be willing to pick a fight with absolutely everyone.
And
I'm super disappointed that that didn't happen because it's such a simple thing. Like, Brock Lesnar's still Brock Lesnar. He doesn't get hurt story-wise or character-wise or anything else like that if he doesn't beat up a woman. Like, we don't need True Life to come into WWE.
Oh, God.
I don't need to see him beat a woman. Like, but what I want to see is the woman who supposedly beat or actually beat the woman who is quote-unquote the baddest woman on the planet immediately come out and go, animal, vegetable, mineral, MMA fighter, pride champ, I don't care who it is, send them out there.
Yeah,
I'm going to murk them.
Yeah.
I'm going to make them tap, and that's just what it's going to be.
Yeah.
Both of these straps on my shoulders mean I'm number one.
Yeah.
So
I'll go to Suplex City. I'll bring a camera and take a photo of my foot beating your ass. You know, that kind of shit.
Yeah, right. Yeah, like, because that's really what she should have done. But then again, I'm disappointed that, to my knowledge, she never tweeted at or Instagrammed at Holly Holm, the person who murked Ronda in the first place. Because the first thing I would have done is had Holly Holm come out as her personal trainer. Like, I'd have cut videos with her boxing training with Holly Holm.
That would have been great. Cause just,
right, because, like, I want to learn how to beat Ronda Rousey from the first person who beat Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, just
and then
rub
right
it
after
in.
That, and then rub it in, and then immediately go to Amanda Nunes, the other person who beat Ronda Rousey, and then learn how to do stuff from her. And literally, Becky could have went on a tour, and it could have been Becky not even showing up to Raw, just videos of her training with people who beat the crap out of Ronda, and Ronda in the middle of the ring doing her grumpy, like, scowl thing that she does.
Yeah, right, yeah, yeah. Like,
oh, man.
I love that. The fantasy booking off of this booking is just so great.
I love fucking with Ronda Rousey. She's a trash human, and I'm super glad she lost. Fuck yeah, Ronda.
Me too.
She sucks. Anyway, okay, so moving right along to the next match.
AJ, Randy Orton.
Sorry, actually, was there anything you wanted to dig into for the main title match? Are you good with where we were?
Yeah, no, I'm good. I thought it was great. It was nice and short. I was surprised that it went the way it did, but I'm glad it did, because now you got the belt in play, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And it made me forget about Hogan, which is amazing.
Yep. Okay, so like you said, next match, AJ Styles versus Randy Orton. One-on-one match.
It was there.
16 minutes and 20 seconds for that match.
Yeah, it felt a little long.
The build up to that one. Here's the only thing that anyone who's not necessarily a wrestling fan needs to know. There was a promo that happened on SmackDown where AJ called out Randy for his drug use, which has been right, which was a really nice dig, and I'm surprised they went there to try and build some heat for this match. Ooh. With that said, Randy Orton, I've talked about this. I've joked around about it with one Super Hard Fight host, Marty Day. He's joked around about it on the Rough House podcast with his co-host, Christoph. And if you guys aren't listening to that, you really should. It's a hell of a lot of fun. They actually do a two-hour episode that's a review of this. I have not gotten any more than like 20 minutes into it. But they bring up a good point that I talked about before. There's two different kinds of Randy Orton. There's Randy who's really having a good time and is showing up to be awesome and put people over and RKO everybody. And the Randy who just is kind of going through the motions.
Yeah, he couldn't be bothered.
Like, I felt like we got Randy Orton going through the motions who showed up, and then AJ's such a good performer, it forced Randy to care toward the end.
Yeah.
But I didn't need almost 7-hour pay-per-view for them to drag this thing out any more than what it needs to be. The other thing, and I'm going to go back to this later on, I don't understand the matches at Mania that don't have a whole lot of pomp and circumstance and no belt.
That's like, that's the thing that was bothering me. There were like too many, I thought. There were too many.
Like, I get the idea. Later on, we'll talk about Kurt Angle's retirement match. I get why that needs to be a thing, and I get why that needs to be a thing at Mania.
Sure.
I don't see the reason. Like, if this is about getting AJ and Randy their WrestleMania paycheck, cool. Let's put them into, like, a ladder match or something like that. Like, let's gather a bunch of these guys together into a spot fest that's 15 minutes. And because, as far as I'm concerned, kids, if you haven't watched it, the halftime special that had all the NXT guys was 15 minutes, and it was probably one of the best matches I've seen in forever.
Yeah.
And if you can't tell a great story with six guys in 15 minutes, you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
So I didn't need this match. It didn't do anything for me. It doesn't move the needle. I don't really care. And frankly, I wish Randy Orton would very slowly move into the, like, training other guys, become almost like a Big Show in the background sort of thing. Uh-huh. I don't care about Randy Orton being a top tier talent anymore. Yeah. I don't. It doesn't interest me anymore.
Yeah, neither of them needed this match at WrestleMania. This could have been a Raw thing or a SmackDown thing, like any other thing. It just, I don't know. It didn't rise to the level, I don't think.
Yep. Okay, so next one. The Usos, Aleister Black and Ricochet, Rusev and Shinsuke Nakamura, and The Bar. A fatal four-way for the WWE SmackDown Tag Team Championships.
This was so much fun.
Yes.
So much fun.
So they literally are having a match right before I came down, where it was essentially, I think it was Nakamura and Rusev versus the Usos. And they called the Usos or I'm sorry, no, it was supposed to be the Hardy Boys versus the Usos. And the argument was that these are some of the top rated tag teams in the history of WWE. And if you said it 6 years ago, I wouldn't believe you were the Usos. Second they went heel, they're outstanding.
Yes.
And I just got the update. Hardy Boys are SmackDown Tag Team Champions.
Oh,
so good for the Hardy Boys.
Nice.
So here's the important thing. And this reinforces what we just said. There were two Usos, an Aleister Black and a Ricochet. That makes four, Rusev and Nakamura. And then the bar of Cesaro and Sheamus. That's eight guys in 10 minutes. And they put on a barn burner and had a great time.
It was beautiful.
Well, here's the thing. I would have been a little bored with the bar winning the championships. And I'm glad that they didn't, because they're now getting involved in the main event stuff. And it makes a lot of sense. But I wouldn't even mad if they'd have put the belts on any of those guys. And that's exactly what you want.
Yeah.
I want all the guys to be really competitive and for me not to question what's going on. And I'm really happy that they decided to, if they were going to move on with a more seasoned team that have had the belts a while, I'm glad that the Usos retained. And I'm glad now knowing that the Hardys are champions, though I wish it wouldn't have went to the Hardys. I wish it would have went to a younger tag team. I like that they use this as a way to build another team back up. I love what SmackDown's doing with the tag division. It's awesome. I think they should just absolutely move all tag team wrestling to SmackDown. Raw yeah. doesn't know what to do with it.
My favorite spot was the one in the corner where they had everybody up on that like thing where they slammed everyone down, and Ricochet was at the top, and Ricochet somehow landed on his feet and everyone else is dead in the ring.
Oh, I literally, like, right before that happened, I said out loud to my wife, I was like, Callie's landing on his feet. And she was like, what? Oh. And I was like, yeah, that's because I've seen Ricochet before.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That's what he does. By the way, if you get the opportunity, I think NXT is coming to Aberdeen in May.
Oh, cool.
You should see Ricochet live. I saw him in Ring of Honor, and he is outstanding to watch.
He's so great. And
yeah.
Alex brought up the point that Ricochet always looks like he's seeing something for the first time. Like when it's a two count, he was like, oh my God.
Also, Jesus Christ, if you haven't watched it, the tag team match with Aleister Black and Ricochet versus the War Raiders for the NXT tag titles that they also lost. Ricochet is the best seller in the fucking business right now. You can fight me about it. Go back and watch that and tell me he is not outstanding in putting other people over. He's
yeah.
great.
Yeah.
All right. Shane McMahon and The Miz. Okay. So.
Yeah.
This match I did not care about. And then by the end, it made me care about it. Look, kids, if you want to watch basically Shane McMahon do the same thing he's been doing for the last 15 years, which is putting his body on the line for no goddamn reason, because
yep,
for some reason he wants to be the toughest guy on the planet, it's awesome to watch.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, with that said, can we talk about The Miz's dad? Because, okay, look. This is going to be me being a dick here, and I don't want to necessarily come off as like I'm shaming old people or anything like that, but Miz's dad knew he was going to be involved in this thing for a good long while. Like, the second – like, if he didn't know he was going to be really part of this sort of thing, when Shane turned on Miz in the first place and then got in Miz's dad's face, Miz's dad had a good month to watch a YouTube video on how to throw a punch – some curls, maybe. Get that mullet cut. I don't know. Wear a shirt that has. Okay, this is a whole other. He's wearing a shirt that says WrestleMania on it. His son, his only son, his superstar, went from fucking managed to turn an appearance on The Real World into a multi-movie starring multi-year world heavyweight champion WWE career where he is the pinnacle of working safe. No one has a bad thing to say about Miz at this point.
Yeah.
And somehow we can't get that guy a Miz t-shirt.
He should have been decked out in Miz gear, the headband, the glasses, the earrings.
Here's the other thing. The part of the gimmick is that Miz works really hard to impress his dad, which is like – it's almost the equivalency of like, you know, Jamie, I saved up a lot of years and I worked really hard so that I can restore this 1990 Hyundai accent. That's right. Look at that. Yeah, that's Three Doors of Fury is what that is. That's a hatchback. GLS model. I got the sport, Tommy. Yeah, that thing's got a click and overdrive. Yeah, that's right. Automatic transmission, 194,000 original miles on that bad boy.
I could paint some ghost flames on that shit for you.
How fucking low does Miz set his mentality bar that his all he wants is his dad's love, which is the saddest short story of every WWE fan.
Yeah.
I watch pro wrestling with my dad, and what I really want is my dad to love me, but what he really does is punch and drink a lot. So, like... I get the idea that Miz is trying to bond with these people while also being a movie star, while also being married to Maurice. Also, like, dude is wearing a lot of hats and doing a pretty good job.
There's always so much going on when it's a Miz show. Like,
just
layers on layers on layers on layers on layers.
Could we not with his dad? Like,
it was not good. That was not good.
The image of Miz's dad hunched over, it's not even like there wasn't like a Muay Thai stance where he had his arms up. There wasn't like, it would have been a lot better if he went like full on Notre Dame mascot where like had the knuckles all turned up and stuff like that.
Yeah.
There was nothing. I don't get it. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to me.
It was a heartstring pull, and that's not the thing that got me into that match. I was like you. Like, when we were watching it, I was like, this is boring as fuck. By the end of it, Alex and I were both on the edge of our seats like, no, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. He did it.
Wait, yeah. I guess the idea is Miz needed a reason to care, which...
Not really.
Okay, great. Like, what Shane should have done... If he's the real boss of everything, he should have dangled Miz's career in front of him. He should have said, this is your WWE contract. If you can't beat me at WrestleMania, you are fired. Mm-hmm. I'm tearing up your deal. Your TV show goes away. Yeah. Your movie deals go away.
Yeah.
Your wife's contract is torn up.
Yeah.
And you can go work where people are all elite. And you can call out everybody. By the way, one of the funnest things, if you want to hear a bunch of call outs, you should absolutely watch the DX induction speech. They throw Billy Gunn under the bus a bunch of times. It's fucking hilarious.
That's funny. I like that angle.
Shane would have done that.
Yeah.
And we could have had Shane, or we could have had Miz care right out of the gate. No bandana, no stupid spins, no nothing or anything else like that. No impressing his dad. Literally just
running out.
For my family. Yeah. I have another baby on the way.
Yeah.
This is my livelihood, and I will not have you threaten it. This is the most important thing in the world to me. The whole buildup of Miz has been his wife and his children are now his focus of his world. And if you threaten that, that motivates me way more than his weird Wisconsin dad. Yeah. I don't.
And that's a great story, too. And you tell that just as quickly.
Just as easily. Also, I don't care if I'm calling people out or if I'm bringing heat on it. How much is Mrs. Dad the definition of Cleveland? Like, if you looked at, like, if you made Cleveland a person, like if I said, hey, Jamie, your project is to turn every city into a person in a comic book, Cleveland would be Mrs. Dad, kind of frumpy, dressed in pale colors, holding on to a mullet, doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. Yeah. Yeah.
But still, like, that match had more, like, by the end of it, I was way more into that than the AJ match.
Yep.
Like, that one. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Next one.
Women's Tag Team Championship, another Fatal 4-Way. The Iconics, Bayley and Sasha, Nia Jackson, Tamina, and Beth Phoenix and Talia. Okay, now, can I just say right out of the gate, if we're going to turn these people into tag teams, can we get some decent names for these tag teams? Like, the Boston Hug Connection is some
That's weak.
Dwayne Johnson and Mick Foley stuff. And I don't know who wants to be compared to Mick Foley in this whole thing. I think it's supposed to be Bailey, and Jesus Christ, you can do better.
Yeah, I don't like their names. Like, they didn't even come up with one for Nia and Tamina. It was just them two.
Right. Yeah. And them two. I think they should actually call themselves Accidentally Hurt This Person, is because that's really all they're doing.
Yeah.
Here's my short version of this. Beth Phoenix can still go, and my crush is still more than alive. I'm glad to see Natalya still being in the top tier of stars.
Yeah.
I still think she can go. I still think she's great.
Yeah.
Nia Jax and Tamina, I think, both need to go back to NXT. They need some shining up.
Yeah, there's something missing there.
And Bayley and Sasha Banks, this was not their best performance. And man, can you tell the difference when Bayley and Sasha Banks wrestle other people versus wrestling each other? Because if you watch that match, you'll see Bayley and Sasha will start to do a clothesline or start to take a clothesline and will stop right before they're supposed to get hit because they're afraid of hurting themselves. Because I think when it's two very small performers taking on each other, they're willing to take the bumps. They're terrified of taking real bumps, and it shows, and it makes the product slower and not as good. And I don't know how do you solve that problem, because I don't want to have anybody willingly hurt themselves.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's a sign that they need to start trusting people a little more. And I saw this a lot with Tamina and Nia Jax, which I think also may be a byproduct of Tamina and Nia Jax hurt people, so they're genuinely afraid. And I think the only thing you need to do is you have to remove Tamina and Nia Jax from the equation, send them back down to NXT, and let them season themselves up and really work on being better in-ring performers.
Yeah.
Like, I think they need to. I love the Iconics. I think they're great.
They're hysterical. I absolutely
love the gimmicks. They're hysterical. If you want to really fall in love with them, there's an up, up, down, down video of them going bowling with the New Day, the Usos, and the Bar. And it's a three-parter, and they're absolutely adorable.
Oh,
and
my
unique.
God. All right, I'm watching that after this.
Yep. Okay. So next one, WWE singles single match for the WWE Championship. Kofi Kingston versus Daniel Bryan.
Oh, my God.
So
I was crying, dude.
I don't think we really need to go into this too much. If I were to give it any sort of criticism, I don't think it was the best match for either one of them.
Right.
I think at that point we're setting the bar so high, and I think we were all mentally convinced that there was no way they were going to give it to Kofi.
And
that
they did.
Because here's the thing. When Seth Rollins won the belt from Brock, immediately my wife was on Twitter and she said, everybody's talking about how Kofi's going to lose, because we're so seasoned to basically having the good things taken from us.
Yeah.
The idea of getting everything we wanted wasn't going to happen. So then Kofi wins. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm super happy for him. I want to see him keep the belt for a good long time.
Me too.
Jesus Christ. They gave me so much anxiety. As you were watching Mania, by the way, on Raw, Kofi came out and challenged Seth Rollins for both titles. So the whole match ends in a schmoz, but I literally, like, I was down here getting ready to get on the Art Fight meeting. My wife texted me, told me this, and I literally yelled up the stairs to my wife, this is some racist bullshit, because all I could think is there's no way that Vince is letting Seth lose the title to Kofi, and Kofi's going to be a paper champion who will have it one night.
Yeah.
And I was so genuinely angry at wrestling. I was going to cancel my subscription.
Wow. Genuinely.
Like,
wow.
Because this needs to happen for a little while at least. Like, let the guy be genuinely a champion for a while. Let him do some defenses. And when he loses it eventually in a real match without a whole bunch of, like, squashy BS, cool. He deserves to be in the same tier as everyone else. I should be able to talk about Kofi Kingston the same way I talk about Randy Orton and John Cena and Daniel Bryan and everyone else.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I shouldn't have to compare Kofi Kingston to a Booker T, because that's where our problem is right now with this shit. And we're so seasoned and used to WWE being low-key but not so low-key racist that it's like, I'm super hesitant about everything. I want Kofi to have a real run. He needs it. And I think wrestling fans need to see it. So this way they can shut the fuck up about all of their casual racism. It drives me nuts.
I agree with you 100%. And like, it was so emotional even before they did the whole like the storytelling of like the opening promo and all that stuff, because I'd seen like Big E do his thing on Twitter like the night Kofi was denied a chance at WrestleMania,
right.
And I saw and I was like, I'm already bought in. I don't care if this is a work. All the things Big E was saying are true. Like, you know, people like them don't get a shot at the top, and they haven't. It's been right. What? Like who? You know, fucking Rey Mysterio was champ. You can't tell me that right. Kofi isn't as good as fucking Rey.
By the way, if you want to know how bad my brain is at catching things, when they brought everything out and I saw the pedestal that the title that Daniel Bryan had was supposed to go on, I uttered out loud to my wife, "Oh, cool, Kofi's getting it. There's a belt under that piece of fabric." And she's like, "No, there's not." And sure enough, there was.
It was so WWE, good.
You got to do a better job of hiding that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on. Speaking of Rey Mysterio, Samoa Joe versus Rey Mysterio. The length of this match, 1 minute long. I got to ask the question, like, this is for the United States Championship. This is great and everything else like that. Why was this on Mania? If this is on Mania to just get Joe paid, can we just cut Joe and Ray a check and just move on?
Yeah, I don't know why. Is there some smarky reason why this happened? Like some backroom thing? Like why this happened?
No, are there rumors about why? No, I think the idea is Joe needed an opponent. Ray had been there for a while. Ray is notorious for catching people with the 619, which I think is one of the worst moves in wrestling.
Yeah.
Because it's so fucking choreographed, I can't stand it. And the idea that Joe murks somebody in a minute makes Joe look strong, but I don't understand what the purpose of it is.
Yeah.
And honestly, if you're going to make Joe look strong, you let him murk somebody who's on a higher level than Rey Mysterio. You want to make Joe look strong. You put Joe in there against Randy Orton, and you let Joe murk Randy Orton with Coquina Clutch in a minute.
Oh.
You let Randy come out and immediately try and RKO him, and Joe immediately shove him to the ground, pick him up, Coquina Clutch him, knock him out. There's a way to use Randy Orton, and
yeah.
There's a way to make Samoa Joe look strong.
Yeah.
And we cut checks for the other guys. Because they're super talented, but I didn't have any interest in this, and we could have done that in a minute.
Yeah. And that would have been better than the AJ match.
Right, and AJ could have easily have gone in to be the next person to it, but we've already seen Joe and AJ throw down a bazillion times.
That's
either of them. Yeah, but anyway, so I didn't understand the point of that.
Me neither.
Roman Reigns versus Drew McIntyre, another 10-minute match. By the way, guys, when I give out these things for anyone who's not a wrestling fan or curious about any of this stuff, if you've managed to stick around this long, every entrance is at least 5 to 6 minutes long.
Yeah. So add time to the runtime of these.
So when we say a 1 minute match, we mean probably closer to a 12 minute match, and that sort of shit adds up. And this is why I'm saying, even when it's a 1 minute match, I don't understand the purpose of it.
Yeah. Although Joe walking out is always a pleasure.
Joe is one of my favorite competitors, period. That dude gives fat guys hope is really what Joe does. He's my white knight. That man is a definition of thick. That is, I put the straw in, I still need a spoon is really where I'm at.
Yeah.
So Roman Reigns beat Drew McIntyre. Big surprise. So, Roman Reigns.
So,
go ahead.
Yeah. So this is how wrestling has ruined me. The entire time, Alex and I are like, he looks really good. I know he was sick, but because I've been watching wrestling for so long, there's a little part of me that thinks it's a work, and I feel like a shitty person for saying that out loud and for thinking it, because, you know, going into remission and going out on stage and performing is a big deal, and I shouldn't be thinking these thoughts. And I felt like a horrible person for thinking those thoughts, but I couldn't get out of my head.
Well, if it's making you feel any better and I can continue to be the monster in our relationship, I Googled how long leukemia treatments took, because I agree with you. yep. Anyway, I hope that's not the case. My assumption is that it was very localized. They have a lot of really top tier people keeping an eye on Roman. They threw a lot of money and a lot of treatments at it.
Yeah.
And maybe it's one of those things where, like, you could solve it without using chemo. You can just use radiation. Therefore, he would end up being weakened, but he could totally be fine. And if he's doing 2 a days in supplements and potentially steroids and everything else like that,
yeah.
then who really cares?
I mean, and he did look a little thin, and he wasn't as thick around here and stuff.
So the idea of him taking time off, and honestly, if everybody was like, well, they have to clear through the New York State Athletic Commission. McMahon's been owning the Garden since, what, the 50s, 40s? I wouldn't surprise me if they can make a phone call for somebody. I'm glad Reigns won.
Me too.
McIntyre, by the way, just came out before I came down here and is going to challenge Kofi for the title. So that's awesome.
That's going to be great.
They're doing a six-man match, so it's The Bar and Drew McIntyre versus The New Day.
Yeah.
I think McIntyre will end up having a really good run. And also, that'll legitimize Kofi if he can beat Drew McIntyre, a guy that is large and really imposing and capable and can go and is intimidating and yada, yada, yada. So,
I'm sorry that this all happened for Reigns, because now he's forever going to be a face. And I don't want... And I don't want people to think that he didn't earn that, because like he's put in the work, and I've talked shit about Reigns just like everyone else, but like, but he puts in the work. He's done the work. He's a good worker in the ring. He's got the moves, except for that fucking Superman punch.
Yeah, I hate that Superman punch too. And if I'm honest, I think Roman Reigns is really kind of boring in the ring. He's had some really good matches that I've enjoyed.
Yeah.
The ones with him and Braun Strowman actually, weirdly enough, were a hell of a lot of fun.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But, you know, I'm not super interested in Roman Reigns, if I'm honest, and I don't even think it's the smarkiness of me. I think they lose potential when he beat The Undertaker, and then he came out and caught all that heat, and then they just let it fizzle out. I don't understand what they're doing with Roman
Reigns. If he went heel, it would have been gorgeous, because he would have been heel, and people would have booed and booed until they started cheering him. And then he would have been right where he is now, where people fucking love him.
Yep. Okay. So... I could have done without that match, but fine.
Yeah.
Triple H and Batista. Oof. So we joked about it in the beginning, the longest fucking entrance for both of them. By the way, the main Daniel Bryan doesn't come out on a rickshaw or any sort of earth-friendly transportation or anything else
A fixie.
Right. Kofi Kingston doesn't come out with a giant inflatable unicorn or any of this other stuff. That's for the championship. Seth Rollins, he gets a good video package. Brock Lesnar, same thing. Good video package, nothing else. No one else at this point has had an entrance with any sort of real things. Triple H comes down in a flame-throwing Mad Max-style roadster with a dude who looked like they literally antiqued him. Like... How do we make the guy who owns the car who refuses to let anybody else drive look like he belongs there? I don't know. Throw a bunch of flour on him or something.
Yeah, that was weird. Fucking weird.
Honestly, I spent the first 5 minutes of that match asking the question out loud. How the hell did they get the car back up the ramp without any of us noticing? That's really – this is where my brain goes. This match
– so boring.
Was the longest match of the night.
So boring. So boring.
To give you an idea, the Kofi Kingston Daniel Bryan match that had a ton of false finishes and was super good in the sense that it really drew us in because we all were rooting for Kofi.
Oh, grabbed you by the minutes, heart, man.
Right, 23 minutes, 45 seconds. 24:45 for Triple H versus Batista. I don't know what the purpose of it was. I laughed because Batista tripped getting into the ring.
That was hysterical. It's
always a good way to start everything.
If you listen carefully and you watched it live, so you didn't get to rewind it. If you listen very carefully, Shawn Michaels says, "Oh my God," as Batista is tripping into the ring, and it was
because even I think Shawn's even at this point where he's like, "Do we really have to fucking do this?" I have to now go down here and try and sell that Dave beat up Rick and Dave beat up, like, okay, can we double back here? No one's intimidated by a guy named Dave.
Nope. That's why he goes by Batista.
That's why he goes by Drax. Like, no one's worried about Dave.
Hi, Dave. The idea called
Big Dave. It doesn't change a fucking thing. Like, it doesn't.
Dave flips you a burger at Wendy's.
Now, to give you an idea, we could have ended the show at midnight, not 12:30, if we didn't need to watch Triple H feel important.
God damn, it was so bad. It was so bad.
Anyway, I don't even –
Yeah, let's just skip this.
I don't get into this one. You sure?
Yeah, let's skip it. But okay. I do want to talk about, it's not on the list here, but is the Elias thing up next?
I think so, yeah.
So the Elias thing was terrible, but then our friend Alex was not into wrestling around the time of Basic Thugonomics and was not aware that friend Cena had a PhD in advanced thugonometry. And so I got to witness Alex witness Basic Thugonomics for the first time, and it was glorious. It was so glorious. And that is the best part of the entire thing.
Okay, so to give anyone else an update, Elias, a guy who comes out, plays guitar, yada, 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 basically just a music segment, and then he ends up getting roped into matches from time to time. Got roped into a thing with Undertaker last night on Raw, by the way.
I thought Taker John was Cena, dead. I guess he's not.
I only wish. So John Cena comes down in his classic thugonomics gear, not his like make a wish, you know, hustle, loyalty, respect, yada, yada, yada. This is like
word life.
Right. You know, instead of saying fuck rules, he'd say ruck fools. There was a lot of like, I love classic John Cena. Anyway,
so good.
So he comes down, cuts a freestyle on him, buries him, hits him with the FU, which is now the attitude adjustment, and then hits him with the five knuckle shuffle, and it's awesome. I love that classic John Cena. I hope it sticks around.
Vintage Cena.
Yeah, I love it. But this is where my issue came in. There's a Baron Corbin Kurt Angle match that happened after the fact.
Oh, right. Yeah. Right?
Could we not have had John Cena attack Corbin in the back and then had him come out as Thugonomics Cena to go take on Angle? Like, if Angle came out first, you still give John Cena all the heat of going out and taking out everybody. You have the heat of him being the Doctor of Thugonomics. You have him come out essentially where he started off being that version of John Cena with the ruthless aggression. I'm sure somebody in the back can pen a freestyle rhyming the word aggression with something. Yeah. And you could have had him come Confession. Out and yes. have the square off with Kurt Angle. And then Kurt Angle losing to John Cena is exactly how John Cena's career started. And it's really fitting. It lets Kurt Angle go out with a bit of pride. It lets him go out with a wink and a nod. Yeah. It makes John Cena look strong.
Yeah.
It goes back to a bit of nostalgia.
I like
it
that.
It lets them murk Corbin. And we just, no offense, we don't have the Elias thing. Or, God forbid, let's send fucking Elias out there with a guitar, and before he strums, the first thing of him giving New York a hard time, both Jeff Jarrett and the Honky Tonk Man both pop out from under the ring, El Cabong his ass full concerto, two guitars explode, and we move on to the next segment.
That's better. Like, just that's so much better. That is so much better.
Easy. And right, and Honky Tonk Man went into the Hall of Fame. Let's give him a nod then.
That would have been fine. Like, that would have been great. Lovely. Yeah, you have your Elias segment, and you have Thugonomics. It's great. That's great.
Yeah.
It's great.
Could have done everything involved with that sort of thing.
Could have done it. Baron Corbin, sad tummy, did not need that. I just...
Right, yeah, and like I actually like Baron Corbin in the ring. I don't necessarily like him right now with what he's doing, but like you could have very easily had Corbin knocked down and somebody run up and go, "What the hell happened?" And you hear like all you see is like the background of a Yankees jersey,
yeah.
And you hear the word "life" start up. And suddenly everyone realizes, holy fuck, John Cena just murked Baron Corbin. Why did he attack? Holy shit, he's in his old school gear. Holy shit, he's coming down to take out Kurt Angle for the last time.
Yeah.
Oh my God, history's repeating itself. Like, it's just, it's so much.
I like that, because that's WrestleMania is about nostalgia.
Back, but I think it's better.
Yeah, that would have been a better booking.
Yeah. Anyway, Kurt Angle is outstanding. I love him dearly. I'm really happy that he managed to go out before he really hurt himself any more than he already has.
He was looking
I hope he has
rough.
A long story career in the back.
Yeah.
I hope that, I mean, dude's had a fused neck, and you know, he's essentially like Keaton's Batman. Like he cannot. Yeah. So,
but I mean, he looked good.
I want to see Kurt do cool stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to see Kurt move on and do a bunch of cool stuff in the back and train the next generation and everything else like that. I have nothing but kind things to say about Kurt Angle on the whole. I really do.
And I love that he leans into the you suck thing. And like, you know, that was the way he wanted to go out. He wanted everyone to do it. And I don't know. I love that he's embraced that throughout his entire career.
So here's another match that I didn't need. Finn Balor against Bobby Lashley for the IC Championship.
Oh, yeah. It was short.
It was. I asked the question, though. What did we really solve there that we couldn't have solved on Raw?
Well, you didn't get to see Finn Balor on a giant elevator.
Okay.
As tall as the Titantron. And the demon is back. Has the demon come back before, or is this like... Because
the demon keeps coming back. Yeah.
He keeps dropping it, but then he keeps coming back, right?
Look, here's my thing with Finn Balor. I think Finn Balor is a great-looking, very impressive competitor. I don't care about the demon because he doesn't wrestle any differently when he has the paint on.
Yeah,
he's not
more
aggressive. He doesn't break out another move. Like, it's not like... what is it, the Great Muta or something like that, where like when he puts on the face paint and he sprays the mist and everything, like he becomes a different person.
Yeah.
It's not, it's still the same Irish sweetheart with the great abs who loves to play with Lego. It just, he happens to be in Renfest paint.
But frowny face.
Look, here's the thing. I was never intimidated by the cyberpunk thing to start with. I was never intimidated by people with face paint. I don't particularly care for juggalos on the whole. So it hits everything that I don't care about. And when he comes out with his juggalo face paint, along with his like snowboarding dread hat that was really big in like 1999 I care. Like, he literally looks like somebody who I would end up seeing at KatsuCon 6 years ago. And because of that, I don't care about him. And I also don't care for the coup de grace because, frankly, I don't think it's a really impressive move because he's not that big. And it's got no snap. Like, if Bobby Lashley did a stomp, that's an impressive move.
Oh, yeah.
That's a lot of beef.
Yeah.
If Officer Tucky did the stomp, that's a lot of beef. When he does it, like, Jamie, is there a chance that when your daughter Hazel is joking around with you, she jumps off the back of the couch onto your chest? Could she hurt you? Yeah.
She could. But I'm walking away.
There's a big difference in between Hazel doing it. Right. There's a big difference in between Hazel doing it and Audrey doing it.
Yeah.
And there's a much bigger difference in between Hazel doing it and me doing
it. Oh, yeah.
And that's the thing, is like, I need the danger snapped up a bit, and I think Finn needs a more RKO style, like, just god damn, where did that come from kind of thing.
Yeah,
he's a super impressive competitor.
Yeah,
I know he has the strength, the speed, the capability, the talent to be able to do something way more impressive, and I'm just kind of disappointed with that move.
Do you think
he needs a better finisher?
Do you think if the demon had something like the Tajiri green mist or some extra something or something, would it help bring the demon, would it help make the demon be a different thing?
I think having the demon not come out in the same necessary way or something like that, having him basically snarling in the corner or sitting down and doing the like Festus thing where the bell rings and then you unleash the beast sort of thing. If he walked out and the first thing he did was rake his eyes or kick him right clean in the gut and then start just throwing him around and just doing really impressive feats of strength for someone his size. If the first thing he did to him was like pop-up powerbomb, just right out of the gate, just a hard forearm shiver, slammed him, like, and seeing Balor, who I know could do it to Bobby Lashley, do it to him and then tower over top of him.
And then, like,
and literally, like, the way he would pin him, right? The way he would pin him is literally like Lashley laying out on the ground, knees on his elbows, and then literally like mounted on his chest and then staring down at him, basically intimidating him to not get up. That's a demon to me.
Yeah.
Finn and face paint doesn't do it for me.
Yeah.
It's a really impressive look, but it doesn't, he doesn't wrestle any different. So I don't really care. I'd rather honestly have Balor Club Finn, where it's Finn fighting for everybody and he's a low-key LGBTQ warrior. Like, I'm good with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's do that instead of putting him in the face paint and having him not do anything different.
Yeah, I agree with you. I also agree that by the time this one came around, I was like, let's get this fucking over with.
I was super done with it. And honestly, Bobby Lashley can disappear. I don't care about low-key Wayne Brady. He looks like Wayne Brady. He shaves his eyebrows. He got murked in MMA. He can't actually fight. He has a great look, and I don't really care.
He looks great.
I don't care that he's a gym rat.
Yeah.
He looks great. He looks like the prototypical Vince McMahon character. And the fact that they have to put him out there with a mouthpiece like Leo Rush is really telling. And the fact that Leo Rush, while I cannot stand that man at all, I think he's the most obnoxious little fucker. I couldn't stand him in MCW. I couldn't stand him in Ring of Honor. I couldn't stand him when he shows up on other things. Like, I don't like the guy. But he can talk. And when he can't get Bobby Lashley over, it makes me ask the question, what will?
Oh, that's true. Shit. Yeah.
Let's also not pretend that, if I'm not mistaken, Bobby Lashley is the one who helped Donald Trump win in the match against Vince to shave Vince's head.
Oh, fuck. I never
let him put that down. Anyway, so I could have done completely without this match. Or I tell you what, could we have put this on the pre-show and then actually put Zack Ryder's tag team match where he finally got his comeuppance and Curt Hawkins finally broke his losing streak on the actual Mania as like a mid-card thing? Because that was a genuinely great story.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay.
All right. Match of the night or final match. Match of the night.
Yeah. You know what? I'll call it match of the night because of the pomp and circumstance with it.
True. Although the helicopter thing was kind of like, eh. Match. Yeah.
Yeah. I get the idea of what she was doing. That was an old callback to an old Ric Flair NWA thing.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. The idea of coming in on the helicopter and, you know, the red carpet and the whole nine, like, I get that. That makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
I
understand it. Alex and I were just kind of like, I guess rednecks like helicopters.
I mean, yeah, you saw the beginning of everything. They fucking love helicopters. Yeah. Like, Laura Lane, the whirly birds in the sky. Yeah, rednecks love helicopters. Helicopters are rad.
Yeah, and they got Joan Jett. That was great.
Yeah, okay.
I like Joan Jett.
I've got nothing against Joan Jett. She's never really moved the needle for me.
Yeah.
But that's a personal music preference. It's one of those like, yeah, okay, it's on. Cool. I'm good, but meh. She can still play really well. So to her credit,
yeah.
And the Black Hearts as well.
Yeah.
They sounded really tough.
Yeah, they were good. They were good. I was expecting to have some kind of live band thing, and to have them at the end was kind of interesting. Cause usually they have like a live performance of somebody at Mania.
Yeah. And, I was really glad that it wasn't like Florida or Kid Rock or anyone else that, would want to make America great again or anything else like that. Yeah, so that's kind of rad.
So we got Joan.
Yeah, it's great. I'm good with
it. Even though it's for Ronda, Joan, which is not that great, but it's Joan. So
yeah, whatever. I hope that maybe Joan doesn't feel the same way that Ronda does about trans people. Anyway. Ronda Rousey's absolute trash. I'll continue to go on record about it. You all shouldn't be fans of her. I'm sorry.
She's not the best.
I'm really happy what she's doing for women's wrestling as far as getting a spotlight on it. I'm really glad that the rest of the women on the roster are able to exploit that, hopefully into something more lucrative and getting higher up in the roster. If it means that we have to put up with that sort of trash as a stepping stone to get there, fine. It's not the first time
step
that
all over her. Step all over her.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm lost with how many racist and awful douchebag male competitors we had to get before we actually got some decent fair treatment of people. So yeah. Awesome. Let's keep doing that.
Yes. Stomp her. Just step all over.
So the match, it was pretty good.
Yeah. Triple threats are always tough.
I don't know in my head. Triple threats are always tough. And is it weird to say that I think they may have made a mistake with Becky's hair, of all things?
It looked like a lion's mane, which was kind of cool, but it seemed to get in her face a lot. Like she was brushing it out a lot.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Like logistically, as far as performing, that seemed like a really difficult choice. It had a rad, like, I don't know why it reminded me of like Tina Turner and Thunderdome going on. There was a very like, I run Bartertown. This is what happens. The man runs Bartertown.
I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah. So, like, I'm all about that. I think they're all perfectly great performers, and I enjoyed the match. And honestly, the thing is with this match, I don't know what they could have done that would have had me go, holy fucking shit, that match.
Yeah.
Because triple threats, like you said, they're wonky. They essentially become spot fests in that sense. I think if it was Becky versus Charlotte, we could have had a real barn burner. I don't think Ronda is at the point right now where she's capable of putting on a barn burner style performance. I think she's much very similar to Brock Lesnar. I think it's maybe 10 to 12 pretty good moves, 3 or 4 really great moves, and not a whole lot else. You got to kind of work around her shortcomings. And I don't think she has the experience yet to work on her feet.
Yeah. And I think that's why they did the triple threat, because you had Becky and Charlotte. They could put in the work. They could make up for any shortcomings that Ronda had, you know, and if Ronda had a short, if Ronda ran out of stuff, they could toss her out of the ring and Charlotte and Becky could go, and you know, you've got a great spot there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those things where I think if Becky and Ronda would have done this match, I think instead of it being 21 minutes, it would have been a tight 11.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it would have been something where it was like they would have made the stipulations like no disqualifications or something like that, because they can't seem to keep their hands off of each other, yada, 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 yada. And Becky would have had to have done something heinous, but it only would have been after Ronda tried to do something heinous instead and it didn't work. And then that's where the whole thing happens. And
yeah,
you could have done it, but I don't think it would have been nearly as long or had the draw out with it. And it also gives a unique opportunity of the finish. So,
yeah.
I'm super happy about it. I think it's really cool. I liked it too. I'm genuinely shocked that we got everything we wanted in the sense of the champions too. Right now.
Me too. Oh my God.
I'm
used to wrestling being disappointed. I'm used to Mania being like, fuck you.
Can we talk about real quick before this match? They carded out Carmella, or they carded out Alexa Bliss again, and then they brought out Carmella and R-Truth for the dance break.
Oh yeah, we fast forwarded that.
Okay, so literally they realized this night was so long that they had to find a reason to get the crowd on their feet and move around so they didn't fall asleep in the middle of the women's match. And it's not the women's match's fault. The goddamn thing didn't start till almost midnight.
Yeah.
And I gotta ask the question, could we have trimmed a little fat off of this thing? A little? Like, really? Yeah. Like, look, if we'd have cut out the Triple H match, the Roman Reigns match, the Samoa Joe match, that's, let's see, 1 minute plus that. Let's say conservatively that's 10 minutes for the Samoa Joe match, the Triple H match with all of the lead up and everything else like that with all the entrances. Let's call that an even 30. So that's 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're already now under midnight.
Yeah.
That's 11:55 right then and there. You take the Finn Balor and Bobby Lashley match and you move it completely off of the thing. And let's say that buys us another 15 minutes. Goddamn, son, we're damn near 11:45 or 11:30. That's not bad.
You get rid of Elias.
Yeah.
That cuts out even more time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because those other matches felt like padding. We did not need them.
Actually, fuck it. Let's take out that AJ Styles Randy Orton match and let's take the better part of 20 minutes off of this card.
Yeah.
And we could have had this thing tight and wrapped up by 11:30, and we could have kept the Elias bit. We could have kept the John Cena bit.
Yeah.
I genuinely think it's too much show.
It's yeah.
And there's I don't know how to decide. No, I mean, there is a reason for it. You try and have every title that they had was defended that night. And I understand that there are some things like Kurt Angle's retirement that deserve to be on the on the card, shy of just the titles. But I got to ask the question. Can we not look at the ratings or anything else like that, or at the social media mentions or what have you, and figure out which one of these title matches is moving the needle? And if it's not moving the needle, do we really need to have it on the Mania card?
Yeah, and it doesn't need to be that long because you already got everyone's money. They've already bought the network. They're already there. So you don't need to, you know, you're not going to call up a friend of yours 7 hours later and say, hey, you got to buy this pay-per-view, because I don't know why you need an 8-hour show.
Can we start the thing at 5 o'clock when all the pre-show stuff starts, or the pre-game stuff starts, or whatever it is?
Yeah.
Or can we have Mania happen on Saturday and the Hall of Fame happen on Sunday? And this way I cannot have to go to bed at 1 a.m. to get up and go to work. I went to bed. I fell asleep 1:30-ish. I was up at 5:15. I was at work by 6:30. How do you think my day was on Monday?
That's rough, dude.
Because wrestling. Now, am I an idiot for doing that? Yeah, probably. Should I have probably taken off or taken a half day? Yeah, probably. I shouldn't have to take off my goddamn PTO to go watch wrestling. It's ridiculous.
No. Like, no. Unless you're there at the show.
Can we? Yep, fine. But, like, could we move this thing to goddamn Saturday?
Yes, please. Please, please, God, yes. Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God. And then we let the Hall of Fame happen on Sunday, like an award show happens on Sundays.
Yeah. I don't think the fucking Super Bowl is – well, okay, the pre-show starts at, like, you know, Friday before the Super Bowl. But, I mean, the actual game is not that long.
Right, but we're not talking about multiple games. You can't actually compare the Super Bowl and WrestleMania because one story, and Mania is trying to tell 17, 16.
That's true.
Well, not counting the pre-show. Yeah, so they're trying to tell 16 stories, actually, plus the John Cena thing. So 17 plus the Elias thing, 18. So – or whatever it is. So yeah, like it's a lot. It's a fucking lot.
It's too much.
It's a lot.
It's yeah.
It's too much. Yeah. It's too much. Like something's got to give in that sense, and you guys have the ability to do it. So I got to ask of you, can we trim this down? Like or could we unify the belts and we have one women's champion and one set of tag women's champions and one set of men's tags and, you know, an IC and a US and a world champion. And then we can do all of the other world building for the number one contendership for these things.
Yeah, I'm there too. There's too many belts.
The other thing is like, it's not like, to my knowledge, the Randy Orton AJ Styles match, that wasn't for a number one contendership. So
no title, no nothing.
Why not just like have it a power ranking system or something like that, like some sort of clarification of like where you're at, that like if you want to start to go to fight for this person or fight for this person, this is how this works.
Yeah.
I don't know. I want to see a shorter show, honestly, but some sort of like way to make it shorter and treat everyone fairly and still be able to tell all these stories.
That's why NXT like, is so good.
Yeah. Yeah. You should, by the way, if you didn't watch TakeOver New York, you absolutely should. It's real goddamn good.
Nice.
Real good. Yeah. Yep. 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 And Adam Cole is the most over I've ever seen. You owe it to yourself to, at the very least, watch the Undisputed Era's entrance on that when it's Adam Cole versus Johnny Gargano, because Adam Cole hits the boom in his theme song and the roof comes off of that place in unison. Oh, that,
so good.
That dude is so beyond. Like, I have so much jealousy for the crowd reaction and the back and forth, the call and response that he has to the audience is something that like is genuinely like I could die a happy man if I could get that to happen half dozen times. Like if I could make that a repeatable thing a couple times where, you know, I could get them to call and respond in that sense. That's fucking intoxicating. Like
yeah, it's so good.
Genuinely it is. Also, he's a super tiny man, and I almost accidentally killed him when he was at Ring of Honor. So it was fucking great. Seriously, he was in a bit. He ran out, attacked somebody, he hopped the barricade, he started to run away. He was turned facing the ring. I was standing in the aisle way where the camera was that he was trying to run off from, and turned back, saw me, realized I had him by the better part of 40 pounds and I think 3 or 4 inches. I hear him go, oh shit, and then literally like juke and then kind of half grab my arm and then spin around me like he almost hit a telephone pole. And I realized that at that moment, had I not been paying more attention and he not noticed, he would have hit me and fallen over hard. And I don't know how anyone would have been able to move on from that. Mind you, I'm actually a really big Adam Cole fan, but he's a wee man. He really is a wee man, like, especially compared to a lot of other wrestlers. Like, he's a tiny thing.
Oh, my God.
Yep. So
that's awesome.
That one time I almost accidentally Bobby Boucher'd Adam Cole. Yeah, that's yeah.
Oh, man. Well, I'm sad that we didn't get to experience it together, but it's great that we got to recap it together here. It was,
you know, I am very happy that we got to recap it together. I got to be honest with you. I'd have felt so terrible if this at 12:30 and then I'd have known you'd have had an hour plus ride home back to Rockville. Fuck that. That ain't even right.
Well, my work schedule is a little flexible, so.
Still though, Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh man, I'm fading fast. All right.
All right, man. Brandon, where can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram at that guy Chalmers and probably other places. So just type Brandon Chalmers into a thing, and I'm probably going to be there. You can find me also at Super Art Fight, superartfight.com for all the tickets and details for upcoming shows. You can find us at Awesome Con. It's going to be fucking rad. We're doing like 4 shows. We're doing like a kid's show and Unleash and a regular one and then the card game, and we're going to be all over Awesome Con. Yeah. Come hang out with us. Come see us. Come say hi.
It's going to be dope.
We're doing a super secret spot this weekend in Groton, Connecticut for a super secret show. So we will be visiting. I've got it coordinated. I'm hanging out with all of the or at least some of the our Connecticut crew.
Oh, they're coming down?
They're essentially coming over or whatever it is. So, and I've also reached out to wrestler extraordinaire, Keith Youngblood. So I'm merging worlds. I'm hanging out with peoples. We're going to probably go to Mystic Pizza based on the Julia Roberts classic Mystic Pizza. I have no idea if it's going to be any good. For anyone who actually gets that reference, good on you for being an old like myself.
It's going to be magical.
Yeah. It's going to be a thing. We'll see if I make it trapped in a car with Art Fighters, because you know how well I do with that. Where can they find you, Jamie Noguchi?
Here, you're on the channel, or you've got the podcast, or you're on my Twitter. Jamie Noguchi into stuff. You'll find my shit. That's it.
Yep.
I'm gonna post.
And make sure to set this as global sharing, so this way we can all share it around.
Did I do that? Did
I not do that? Yeah. I think you didn't do that a couple times ago, but I'm just saying it out loud to give you shit.
Okay.
All right, kids. I'll see you later.
Bye.
I treat everyone the same. All I do is give people a hard time. This is my life.
Oh, ball.
Ball.